From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Good afternoon. Juneau's teachers union voted earlier this week in favor of approving a tentative contract agreement with the Juneau School District. Now it's the school board's turn to decide whether to approve it before the contract is implemented. The majority vote comes after more than a year of strained contract negotiations between the district and the Juneau Education Association, the district's largest employee association. Kelly Harvey is a teacher at Auk Bay Elementary School and co-chair of JEA's negotiation support team. In an interview this afternoon, she said it was a clear-cut vote.
People were really just done, and I think it comes down to all the testimony that you could hear at any of the board meetings or you could see on our signs. Teachers were taking home significantly less pay this year working under that old contract.
Teachers have been working under a contract that expired last summer. The ongoing disagreements over wages and health insurance contributions escalated the negotiation process. Last month, the union voted to authorize a strike. It didn't, however, reach that point, and the district's and the union's bargaining teams reached a tentative agreement shortly after. The two-year agreement covers this school year and the next. If approved by the school board, the tentative agreement would increase wages and the district's contributions to health insurance and would be retroactive. Some of its highlights include a 3% increase overall to be spread out differently among members. She says that's to realign member salary steps moving forward. After that, all members will get a 6.25 increase to the salary schedule next year. Those agreements are different than what the district or the union each initially proposed. But Harvey said having a contract in place will provide some much-needed relief for many teachers in Juneau.
We had to become competitive with the rest of the state, and we were not competitive with the salary schedule we had. So we're bringing it more into alignment. It's not the best, but it's better.
The next step is for the Juneau School Board to introduce the agreement during a special meeting on Thursday. Then board members are slated to take a final vote at a meeting on April 14th. Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. After months of public pushback, the Juneau Assembly will revisit the current redevelopment plan for the Telephone Hill neighborhood in downtown Juneau. The neighborhood is currently scheduled to be demolished this summer following approval from the Assembly last year. But at a meeting on Monday night, Assembly members voted to re-examine that timeline and the redevelopment plan at an upcoming Committee of the Whole meeting. Assemblymember Nana Brooks made the motion, which passed in a 6-2 vote. Brooks was elected last fall after the Assembly voted to move forward with the neighborhood's demolition to redevelop the area into newer and denser housing. That vote followed years of public debate. Assembly members in favor of the plan say it's necessary to address Juneau's lack of housing. Brooks openly campaigned against the plan. During the meeting, Brooks said his motion was not an attempt to stop the redevelopment, but to re-examine the current plan in place. Despite the vote on Monday, the city is still full steam ahead on the demolition unless directed otherwise by the Assembly. On Saturday, the city released a public notice soliciting bids for contractors to take on the demolition project. The city will begin accepting bids on April 27th. The public notice includes a timeline for the demolition to be completed by the end of July, or 3 months after work begins. A handful of residents testified against the demolition timeline and plan before the vote took place at the meeting on Monday. A civil lawsuit filed against the city last fall is still ongoing. The Assembly's next Committee of the Whole meeting is on Monday, April 13th. Residents can attend in person or online, but the meeting is not open for public testimony. And the 2026 traditional games begin in the capital city this Friday. Around 200 participants from around the world will compete at Juneau Douglas High School, Yira'akahle. KTO's Morning Edition host, Mike Lane, spoke with coach, competitor, and co-founder, Kayak Kyle Worrell, to learn about the importance of the games and what's new this year.
The event has a collection of indigenous games, and they're mostly from the north, the Arctic. So you have the high kicks at our traditional Inupiaq or Inuit games. We have stick pulls from the interior Diné people. But this year, we've kind of broadened the perspective of traditional games, and we are also including some traditional games in the form of workshops from our guests from New Zealand and Mexico. And then we have some canoeing activity as well, which is canoeing is one of our traditional forms of games here in Southeast as well.
How many events are there in total?
There are 12 competitive events where you can medal in.
12.
They hold cultural significance. The seal hop is a game that is based on a hunting technique that was used in the Arctic to sneak up to seals laying out on the ice floe. And back when harpoons were used, you had to be able to get in range to hand throw that harpoon. And simply walking up to the seal wouldn't work. You'd scare it off. It would jump back in the ocean. So the hunters developed a technique to hop like a seal to sneak up to the seal, and that's what this game is based on. You're in a like a push-up position on your hands and toes, and you have to hop for the greatest distance. And the furthest distance places in the game. And it's a game of both endurance and also pain tolerance. You'll see the athletes, they'll sometimes break skin as they hop on their knuckles. And it depends on the age groups. High schoolers, boys, they hop on their first knuckles. But the adults that compete have to hop on a closed fist. So we'll see some pretty battered hands with broken skin as they go along the gym floor.
You've got people coming from all over the world to compete and also put on some workshops.
Yeah, so this event has grown every year, and it's we always say, what can we do next year to bring it to the next level? And we wanted to bring a more international perspective to the games, because we know there's traditional games from all across the world. So we have teams from New Zealand and Mexico, even Labrador in far eastern Canada is coming. It's very much a sporting event, but it's also a cultural exchange, and that's a really important aspect of this, is our sports are connected to our culture. So on Friday, we'll have workshops with our Maori guests and our Mexican athletes. I know the Mexican workshop is an Aztec hit ball game where they have a, I think it's like a 10-pound rubber ball that you hit with your hips. But it's pretty cool to think that after all these years, we're having these international guests come to our event, that it's really grown into something pretty amazing. So we're pretty excited.
Who participates? I mean, is there an age range?
The minimum age is 11, and we have three age categories. We have middle school, which is 6th, 7th, and 8th, high school, 9th through 12th, and then we have an open adult category. Because we have an adult division, some of the coaches of these high school teams also sign up. I'm not sure who the oldest is, but I'm sure there's going to be a few people in their 40s, maybe older. No upper age limit. You're never too old to do the games. I always say there's a game for everyone. They're not all about jumping and kicking, which may get harder with age. We have games like the Dene stick pull, which is a technique-based game, and it's based on grabbing a salmon out of the water. So it's more about balance and technique. We have archery, too. There's a lot of skill to it, but it's not something that's going to hurt your leg.
And there's artwork.
Yeah, so we're really lucky that Corinne James agreed to design our 2026 shirts, and she did a form line design of Nalakatuk, which is the blanket toss from the Inupiaq people, and she did her interpretation in form line. It's a really beautiful design. It's going to be on all of our shirts, so we've been really lucky to get really amazing Southeast Tlingit Haida Tsimshian artists to provide us art each year.
Kyle, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That was Kayak Kyle Worrell speaking with KTOO's Mike Lane about the 9th Annual Traditional Games. And it's Alaska Folk Festival in Juneau this week, which means hundreds of musicians are showcasing their skills on the main stage at Centennial Hall and other venues around town. In the lobby of Centennial Hall, people are beginning to gather an hour before the first act starts. It's Alaska Folk Festival President Josh Fortenberry's first time in the role. He says he's excited for the music to get underway.
It's really hard to think big picture because you are doing so many little tasks and all of a sudden the festival's just here. But it's like this train that just runs away whether you're ready for it or not, and all the volunteers show up and it just tends to happen.
Nearby, John Heifetz is trying to get into the merch store as people line up outside the security gate. He's helping run that shift on its busiest night.
A lot of the stuff comes off the shelf, so if you want stuff, come down here the first or second day, because last year they ran out.
His plan to manage the rush is simple.
I'm just going to do what I'm told. I'm a helper.
Heifetz is also a festival regular.
And I've been coming to the festival since probably 83, 84, when I first moved to Juneau.
But he's going to pace himself, he says.
As everybody says, it's a marathon. I always got to remember, don't get burned out by Wednesday or Thursday night, because then it's a marathon, right?
Classic mistake.
Are you guys ready? You won't run. I know better than to believe that.
The security gate rolls up. The line stays civil as people move in to get their merch. Inside the auditorium and in front of rows of empty seats that will soon fill up, the stage crew, and tonight's MC, Grace Elliott, are going over the plans for the transitions between the sets.
And you're MCing, right?
Yes, I am. Okay, that's right. I'm MCing.
Elliott has MC'd at Folkfest 19 times, but she's still amazed at how the festival operates.
I was just saying how remarkable this whole thing is. It's like, on paper, it should not even work. It's a free festival. It's been going for over half a century. Like, there's so much joy. There's so much willingness to show up and volunteer.
Ben Hoffman signed up to volunteer with the stage crew when he was applying to play at the festival. The stage crew is in charge of setting up the equipment for each of the many acts. At 6 p.m., he says he's as ready as he can be for the festival to start.
I think it'll be kind of fun. I like messing with microphones.
He's part of the Juno Sacred Harp group that plays on the main stage on Saturday. It's his first time playing and volunteering.
So we'll see if it all comes together or if it all falls apart.
Luckily for Hoffman and the 15 acts that perform on Monday, it all comes together. Hours later, at 10 p.m., as the last act takes the stage, Hoffman's tired. He speaks quietly, almost whispers, because he doesn't want to be heard by the audience.
It was a little bit overwhelming at first, but at the end, we could just kind of look at the sheet for a couple seconds before and know what to do. Whereas at the beginning, we had to have like a 10-minute meeting to move like two microphones.
Now that he knows what stage crew is like, he jokes that he'll expect more from them during his performance later this week.
I'll be tougher on the stage crew. They're no longer invisible to me.
In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. When that train left the station with two lights on behind, the blue light was my blue. You can hear live broadcasts of main stage performances every night this week on KRNN 102.7 and 103.1 FM and KTOO.org/folkfest. This is KTOO.